In the mud this week, and I'm having a good time. We're reflecting on the idea that in order to teach a great deal of spiritual insight at a time in which the nation of Israel was transforming, God gave the simple yet profound command to go to the potter's house and watch what happens. Now, as we talked about last week, I love this about God, that he can take incredibly complicated, life-changing events and teach them through the simple act of creating a pot. The challenge in all this, though, is we live in a modern society. Everything simply comes from the store. We don't really involve ourselves in production anymore. We don't involve ourselves with the hands-on. What I hope to teach you today is that concepts that God would have us understand to really change the way we interact with him can come through this simple act. Because when we fail to understand the direction, if you will, that God would lead us into, then we can end up saying some, I don't know, dumb things. Have you ever caught yourself saying to God, I'm not sure I'm up for this. I'm not cut out for this, Lord. I just don't know what to do. Now, certainly we're not in exclusionary company. There were points in which Moses, being called by God to deliver all of Israel, will say, I'm not an orator. I'm not a public speaker, God. I don't know what to do. And God gets a little angry with him and says, look, you forget. I created the mouth. I created the tongue. I created the whole concept of talking. I know what I'm talking about. But there's that tendency where we say, no, God, you don't know what you're talking about. You don't walk in my shoes. You don't live on my street. You don't face what I face. It's bizarre. Today, we're going to approach that. Isaiah 19, printed in your bulletin, is sort of the comprehensive view of this. This silly notion that we as the pot, as the clay, want to say to God, you don't know what you're doing. The Lord shared with the prophet Isaiah this warning. What sorrow awaits those who try to hide their plans from the Lord, who do their evil deeds in the dark. The Lord can't see us, they say. He doesn't know what's going on. How foolish can you be? In Hebrew, it's literally how dumb. Things are backwards. But how foolish can you be? He is the potter. And he's certainly greater than you, the clay. Should the created thing say of the one who made it, he didn't make me? Does a jar ever say, the potter who made me is stupid? Today I want us to really get into that. As you look at who you really are, and that's important, who you really are, not who you're pretending to be in church, not who I'm pretending to be in church, not who you can become when your mother-in-law is sitting across from the table from you, but I mean the real you. When you're frustrated, when you're mad, when you're angry, when you're disappointed, when you're just worn out, that person is who God loves. That person is who God has created. That person is who God is going to work with. Hopefully when we walk out of here today, we'll understand that person has the skills, the ability, the spirit he or she needs to accomplish life. It's a big bill of sales, so I'll see if I can deliver it. Let's go back to the potter's wheel, if you will. After the second week, figured out you couldn't see what I was doing up here, which in a few minutes you'll recognize is probably a good thing. I am not a potter. I learned just enough of this to not get mud on you, but I can't do much else. But we will try to illustrate some biblical principles as we continue to go through this. So we start off with our clay. As so many things in the Hebrew language, it has a dual meaning. If you were here last week, you'll remember clay is also the word for what? Adam. This is the dust of Genesis from which we were created. This, in their sense, and I should probably confess this to you now, Hebrew has only 7,000 words in it, so there's a lot of repeat. I don't even know what English is up to now. It's probably close to 1 million words. that we use. So 7,000 or a million, it's a big jump. But this is us. And left to our own devices, what would we become? This. Not much more than this. But the Bible creates this beautiful image that God loves this, loves the clay, and would seek to create this clay into something else. Like we talked about last week, the median for contact between the potter and the clay is what? It's always water. Now, we get oftentimes that baptismal reference, but what you need to hear is the scriptural reference. Water, especially living water, is the way that they define spirit. So it is through the living water that the potter will connect with the clay. So everything that God seeks to do for us, he will wet his hands, and he commands, trusts, cajoles, encourages, begs us to stay wet as the clay as well. Because if we don't, the clay will go flying across the room. The clay will be destroyed. But we all get born, and it's kind of a messy thing. And then we get put on this wheel of life. And it goes round and round and round. And the wheel itself is going to pull the clay apart. You all know you're going to die, right? There is a point in which, well, hopefully we're not right now, but I got a big hunk of mud and I'm going to throw a motor on it in a minute. But the motion will constantly be to pull apart. That's why it's so crucial that the clay stay wet and that the potter's hands, God's hands, stay on us. So with everybody wet, let's see if we can begin to balance. This is the first step that God goes through to get us to exist in life, so that we're not spinning off out of control. Now, so many times we work hard just to get here, and this is just the beginning. So hopefully we can see it on the camera. We're somewhat balanced to be in a place where we can exist in life and not lose ourselves. And I tried to judge, what takes more water? Do you need more connection to God in the beginning or the end? And the truth is, you always need God. I wish you all could come and do this. After you play with the mud for a while, you can begin to feel the friction between the clay fighting the potter's hands. And I swear, I felt this with God. Times in which my will, my sense of identity, my sense of being a man and wanting to accomplish just pushes against God. And if you could just feel those hands, God doesn't crush us. He sort of sets a mold with the hands, and then he gives us the chance as the clay to fit into that, to, as the days spin, to grow into it. If things are dry, it just scrapes your hand. It's a miserable process. If everything is moist and great, it flows along beautifully. So at just this point, we're feeling pretty good about ourselves. We're a hunk of mud, but we look like a good hunk of mud. What is that? A bowl? I don't know. A cup? But usually we're okay. God, leave me alone. I'm fine there. But as we learned last week, what does God do? He wants to well us out. He wants to take a portion of the inside of us and take it out. So see if I can do this without making a mess. God begins to push down on us. And man, isn't it tempting to say, I'm doing something wrong. God, the inside is not the same. I don't feel like I did in the beginning. I don't feel balanced. I don't feel purpose. God, why are you squeezing? Why are you pushing? Why is this so hard? And Lord, why am I losing part of who I am? It's not fair. But this is what we're really made for. This welling out, the inside of us to be opened to hold God himself. Humanity amongst all of the creation, amongst all angels or animals is unique in that we are the clay vessels, the human vessels for God. I think a lot of us strive just to get to this point, just to be shaped, to be moist, to be balanced, and then to be welled out. to be filled with God. Whew. It's over. Thank the Lord, right? It's actually just beginning. One of the huge challenges I think we face as a church today, huge challenges we face as believers, is that we stop at this point. We say, I'm pretty balanced, I'm pretty moist, I can hold some God. But this is just the beginning. The potter's artistry begins to work at this point. And I'll be honest with you, I have no artist talent. But I have designed this whole sermon series to teach you this one point. How God takes the clay from a starting stage and turns it into something that's truly beautiful and should last for all eternity. So the clay at this point is actually in Hebrew called yetzer. So I think we have a screen for it. If you can imagine a southerner saying yes sir, you're not far from pronunciation. Yes sir, yes sir. So you got it? This is where the beauty, the brilliance of God begins to come out. This clay is ready. And one of two things will happen. Either the notion, the image inside the potter's mind will come through his hands and take form in this clay, in which case this yetzer becomes ha-tov. Ha is just the Hebrew for the, and tov is good. So this concept, you've heard it so many times as a Christian. My frustration is we never get the origins of it. The origin, the original teaching is right here on a potter's wheel. The clay that's ready to be shaped and molded can be after the image of the potter's mind to become the yetzer ha-tov, the good, translated as inclination, a good spirit, a good root sometimes, but it really is this clay. I remember as a child I watched Bugs Bunny, and when Bugs Bunny had to make a difficult decision, there was an angel on one wing and there was a devil on the other, right? We all know that part. This is where that notion comes from. You have the yetzer ha-tov, which is the clay after the image of the potter's hands, or you can have yetzer ha-ra. Ra is the Hebrew word for evil. It's also, if you know Egyptian mythology, the name of the Egyptian sun god. Joke? I think it is. Can you imagine the Egyptian saying, look at the sun, it's Ra. The Hebrew saying, yeah, I know, it's Ra. It really is Ra. But it's an easy way to remember it. We dress it up in grand theological terms. Yetzer ha-ra is sometimes called original sin. In the New Testament, Paul will call it our fleshly nature or our inclination towards evil. All of these fancy natural theology terms, and I've seen volumes, simply come from this simple image. We want to stay here, but God wants to see if the image in his mind that will not be repeated with another jar, not be repeated with another person, can be a reality for you. And it's, in their image, the raising up of the cup. We can hold so much fluid now, we can hold so much God, but what happens when God comes back to our nice, comfortable Christian life and says, I want more. I want to begin to raise you and shape you into a really vessel that will reflect my glory. So it's this constant movement up, which Yetzer HaTov often implies, that you go to your higher nature, your greater purpose. And ironically, the volume that we're capable of creating is more when he raises us up. Now, I've not seen Scripture reflect this, but I certainly have felt it in my own life. When God raises me to a new level, a new position, then I've got to get balanced again. And this inclination within me is to fill back up with my own humanity, with my own self. But this notion of being a true, vessel of God is hard work. Now, it's not exactly a beautiful vase, is it? Don't laugh.
I'll make you do it next.
But can you imagine what the clay is saying? This is not what you did before, God. This is not what I expected. This is beyond the image of what the clay would ever do for itself. We would, left our own devices, still be just a hunk of clay, just to go back. All of us have this Yetzer HaTov. It's part of our humanity. It's part of our fallen nature. This is that weird drive that you have inside of you to take care of yourself. It is the animal in us that wants to hurt when we get hurt. It's that part of us that teaches us to hoard because if I don't, nobody will take care of me. The clay is going to have a choice. God's going to have a choice. We're the medium in between where all that happens. Today, I hope you can understand where you are in this process. Is God trying to get you balanced? Is he trying to weed you out, open you up, or is he trying to raise you up? Every time the wheel turns, this is happening. There is no cruise control. There is no, I'm good enough. Because do you know what the next stage is? We take the clay off the wheel and it goes to the kiln. It goes to the fire. For that which God has created, he will want to endure. So, is that Yetzer, that image in the potter's mind, taking form within you? It's the biggest, hardest question we'll ever ask in life. I would ask you to search deep and ask yourself, am I the same as I was a year ago, 5 years ago? Am I better? Am I worse? The wheel is spinning. And as we said last time, there's only so much the clay can take. In our life, there's only so much that we can go through before God says, it's done. Let Christ form within you that which you were meant to be. Let this Yetzer HaTov come to life. It is a beauty, a goodness of God that it would have be a reality. So when I started, I thought of the Isaiah 19 passage that God, frustrated with us, said, why do you think the potter doesn't know what he's doing? It is this potter's desire to make a little vase, Coke can, I don't know, something good, something deeper, something stronger. But when the real master shapes you, he does put in you what you need. And so many times the church does a terrible job at this. We teach you, get rid of that part of yourself. Don't be this. Don't be that. I promise you, if it is in your personality, if it is really who you are, God intended it for a purpose. Now, that doesn't mean everything that you want to do, you can do. There are abilities and gifts that God gives us that can be used for evil. That happens. But don't spend your life trying to be somebody that you're not. God is trying to shape you in a unique way to be that vessel that holds him, that reflects what the potter is creating to make as a reality. But man, is that easy to forget. So I'm going to burn it in your brain just now. The next time you think, I can't do this. Lord, I know you may want me to talk to my coworker about coming to church. Or you may want me to talk to that relative at Thanksgiving that's making really bad choices and it will end badly. And you just say, I can't do it. I don't have the words. I'm not eloquent. I'll make them mad. Whatever we come up with. Understand that God actually knows where you are and who you're talking to and what you're going through. So trust him for a minute. I want to give you my parable about a baby iguana. Jesus, in a brilliant way, always taught that the kingdom of God was like. So here's my parable. The kingdom of God was like a baby iguana caught on an island full of snakes. The baby iguana doubted whether it could do anything, but it forgot that the Lord made it. So let's watch the parable of the baby iguana. Can you imagine that poor iguana saying, "You would not believe the kind of day I had"? So come on, we've all been there, right? It's called Monday morning. Where did all these snakes come from? Oh my gosh, I've never seen snakes do that, have you? Sort of hunting en masse. Food must be really scarce on that island. I don't know what's wrong. But the point is, did our little iguana have what it took? Absolutely. A lot of times we just have to get up and go. Kick it, run, do. God put within you what you need. It just takes our choice to activate it, to bring it into life. So today, as we end our service, please understand you are the hope, the deliverance, the defense, the righteousness, the love that other people need in their life. God listens to their prayers, listens to them calling for God's presence. This seeps into him, and as he shapes and molds you, he is putting those qualities in you for them. One of the greatest tragedies of our existence is our desire to go back and just be a clump. It's safer, it's more secure, it's what we need. But it's not what the kingdom needs. It's not what people cry out to God for. So on their behalf, I would beg you today, be the person God is shaping you to be. Even if people have told you it's goofy, even if people have told you you can't play with mud in the middle of a sermon, I don't care. Do it. Be who God made you to be. And in that, his love, his kingdom, his beauty, his creation will continue to expand, and we will know the presence of our God. Let us pray together. Gracious Lord our God, we do give you thanks that we are as simple but also as complex as humanity placed on a potter's wheel. Help us this day to understand, O God, the transformation that is going on within us. At times in which we feel empty, times in which we feel you reaching deep into us, may we rejoice, for we have not done anything wrong. We are instead feeling your presence even closer. Let us never forget, O Lord, your desire to be with us, to be part of us. You, O Lord, are never ashamed to get our humanity, our mess of existence all over yourself. But you also continue to shape, refine, push us to become that beauty within your mind. May we never settle for anything less, and may we delight at the mark our potter leaves on us. In your Son's holy and precious name we pray. Amen.